This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here every day. We cover a lot of different topics of interest to the Umpqua Valley. Our first opportunity following the November general election to talk with Congressman Cliff Bentz, who joins us live from Washington, D.C. Congressman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Oh, Kyle, it's great to be with you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, first of all, I wanted to get your overall reaction to the November election results, especially as it applies to Congress.
Well, of course, I was extremely happy that we here in the House maintained our majority, although we went from a majority of roughly five down to a majority of roughly four or even three. And for a few months, it's going to be just two. So the Democrats will have roughly 215 votes, and we Republicans will have 217 votes. And so I'm very happy to be in the majority, but man, it was a narrow squeak. And I'm very sad because a number of my friends lost their races and are not coming back next year. This was basically our last week in Congress, this week and next week. And It was very sad to see people who had worked so hard to win these races and then to lose. But they recognize that that's how this works. Some of them will run again and some won't. I'm just very, very happy we're still in the majority.
You know, it is interesting. I had never thought of it quite that way before. I mean, a lot of people go through job changes or somebody gets fired or laid off or whatever, and you're not quite sure what is next. But when you have worked to the level that you have to work to get into Congress and to then get accustomed to doing that job for 2, 6 years or more, and then suddenly find out that your hopes of being there in the future are going to be very cut short, that does have to be kind of a tough pill to swallow.
Well, it most assuredly is. I know when I ran for this job back in 2020, I took basically most of the year at running for the job because it's, well, of course, Congressional District 2 in Oregon is a huge space, and you've got to get around to all of that area, three-quarters of the state, basically. And then once you are elected, you leave Oregon for a sustained period of time, usually one half to two thirds of the year. And your entire life is developed, designed and worked around the issues that are national in nature. And so it's really, really something to get people to actually want to do this job. Kevin McCarthy used to say that everybody wants to be a congressman until they get here to Washington, D.C., and then they suddenly realize it's a lot of work if you do it right. But those people that lost were very, very dedicated, and it's a loss to America. On the other hand, that's how our system works, and on we go with whoever replaced them, and we'll keep working.
With the changes, with the Senate going to the GOP, the presidential office going back to the GOP, what impact do you think that's going to have?
Well, there's many levels of impact. One of the things that's very obvious here is the people looking for jobs in the White House. So all of a sudden, every time you turn around, someone is leaving the House Republican staff and moving over to the White House, or the Senate Republican staff and moving over to the White House, or people are coming in from wherever they went the last time the administration flipped over and getting back into the West Wing. And so that's a huge change. When it comes to what policies will change, I don't think it could be more different. What you have with President-elect Trump is someone who has a real plan. I don't think that then Senator Biden and then President Biden had a plan. I think he came in and basically followed what Nancy Pelosi wanted to do and then tried to take credit for a lot of it. But that's not the case with President Trump. I think he, or elect Trump, yeah, I think he has focus on the border. He wants to focus on, of course, trying to end the war in Ukraine. He wants to focus on keeping America strong in every way. And so I think he has a plan, and I think we have a plan. So we can go into those details. I will tell you that it's one thing for me to have a plan. It's quite another to get it agreed to by the rest of our 217 Republicans. So you have to be very cautious in saying what's going to happen. But I can give you some general ideas of what I'm hearing.
Sure. Let's find out more about what you are hearing back there.
Yeah. So the initial focus is going to be on securing the border. Everybody knows that we've got to have a border that works, or you don't really have a country. So you're going to see, I'm sure, various executive orders on January 20th or 21st issued by who will then be President Trump. And by the way, I should mention to you, we have received literally hundreds of requests, literally, I think, 800 or 900 requests for tickets to the inauguration. And we've closed off any more requests because we're going to have an extraordinarily difficult time finding places for that many people from Oregon to attend. But I think we're going to be given like 200 tickets. But anyway, his first focus after the inauguration will be on the border. His second will be on taxes, because, as you know, the so-called Trump tax cuts from his first 4 years expire, many of them at the end of 2025. So you're going to see a lot of focus on that. There will be new budget issues because the new administration will have different ideas regarding the budget. You're going to see a very aggressive move toward trying to figure out how to get control of our spending. You know, some very, very difficult and challenging conversations upcoming there because we're spending about $2 trillion more each year than we have coming through the door. So we got to figure out how to address those issues. We're going to see lots of changes, I think, in the natural resource area. Of course, I'm on the Water Subcommittee. I'm chair of the Water, Wildlife, Fisheries Subcommittee in Natural Resources, and we're going to see a lot of focus on trying to reverse some of the crazy things we saw happening, that the attempt to take out the four lower Snake River dams, for example. That's going to be front and center in trying to stop that process because it makes no sense. There will be a lot of focus on energy and changes to the permitting. We hope to streamline permitting to make natural gas and other fossil fuels available so that we can drive down the cost to people that are suffering from the lingering and very, very real effects of inflation. So I'll stop there for the moment.
Well, one of the other issues as I was getting ready for this, you've talked a lot about the Columbia River, the Snake River dams, and as you get a different administration in with a different set of priorities and ideas about specific types of ways agencies should be managed, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, what about the impact on these dams? Do you take the dams out? What do you do? What do you see? Where do you see this going?
Right, you take the dams out, and various studies indicate that people in the Northwest electrical bills will double. And the reason for that is not necessarily the loss of the 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 megawatts generated by those four Snake River dams. No. What the real cost is replacing that power, because replacement power is extraordinarily expensive, whether it's solar or wind, because it would have to be, quote, green, end quote. And that means really, really, really high-priced power. 1 megawatt of power generated by the dams, to replace that 1 megawatt, you need 3, they call it nameplate megawatts of wind or solar, because that type of energy is intermittent. It's not steady or firm power, such as that which the dam provides. So you'd see higher, significantly higher rates if those dams went out on your monthly bill, because the ratepayers would be stuck with that expense. Also, you would lose all navigation on the Snake River up into Idaho. And so how are they going to get all the wheat out of the pollutants in that country? You by truck? Because that truck and rail, that's all you'd have. You would not have the extremely inexpensive and efficient means of bringing wheat down out of Washington and Idaho. And I can go on with other impacts it would have on recreation, on irrigation, and really on transmission. There's so many effects and impacts. One estimate was that it would cost some $80 billion to offset the damage of removing those four dams. Even Mike Simpson, congressman from Idaho, who supports taking the dams out, realized it was going to cost in the neighborhood of $32 to $40 billion to offset that damage. I'll stop there, but I'm very familiar with it, and I certainly don't want it to happen. I don't want those dams to be taken out.
And do you think this is a lot less likely with GOP having full control?
Absolutely less likely. I will tell you that I met with various river groups this week and went over the processes that we'll be using. I know the Biden administration is trying desperately to lock in a bunch of the steps they were taking to try to have those dams taken out. One of the things I understand they're going to do this next week, perhaps a week from tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, but maybe I think it's a week from tomorrow, they're going to be issuing another notice of intent under the Endangered Species Act, under FLIPMA, Federal Land Policy Act, to do yet another environmental impact statement on the Columbia River Dam system. I've lost track of how many biological opinions we've had, but that's the kind of thing they're doing to try to lock in, if you will, the process of taking out those dams. And so what we're working on are the means of reversing that.
All right, more with Congressman Cliff Benz when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming up at 1 on tomorrow's program. Congresswoman Val Hoyle will join us. Congressman Cliff Benz on today from Washington, D.C., covering a lot of different topics. What about the issue of the federal debt? I understand we're coming up to an important date there.
Right. So the debt ceiling expires on the 1st of January. When I say that, the deal that was cut a couple of years ago was to delay, if you will, any discussion about what the exact debt ceiling should be until January 1st of 2025. So that's about a month away. And so the question is going to be a little less than a month away. The question is going to be, what should that debt ceiling be? The actual decision doesn't have to be made right now, because the government won't run out of money or spending ability until sometime in August. I think that was the way I was reading about it last night. So, but that issue must be addressed, and there's been negotiations ongoing there. As far as how the budget should be established, our budget committee has been working on hopefully a balanced in quote budget. There's no way to get to a balanced budget immediately when you're spending $2 trillion more each year than you're having come in, because too many people would be too dramatically affected. So there has to be a phased-in means of getting to that balanced budget. And I can guarantee you that has been front and center in our Ways and Means Committee and on our Budget Committee. Kyle, these are very, very complicated and difficult issues that people have become accustomed to receiving government money. It's very difficult to go to anybody and say, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to receive less. So none of these things can happen abruptly. Once programs are put in place, people become reliant upon them, and you cannot jerk the rug off underneath people once they've justifiably relied upon what the government is doing. So we have to carefully approach these things and make sure that people know why we're doing what we're doing and that it's going to actually work.
Now, it certainly sounds like the incoming administration, with some of the help they've procured, are going to be looking at the issue of sort of downsizing government. Just it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to put actions in place.
Kyle, I can't say it better than that. I would point out that President-elect Trump made many suggestions as he was running for the office removing the tax on Social Security benefits, removing the tax on tips, and tips you leave a waitress, for example, and many other things. If you add up what he has suggested needs to happen, the cost to the budget is significantly greater than that which we can afford. So what I know he wants to do, and we want to help him, is to breathe more production into our economy. And of course, that's why we're focusing initially on energy, because that's a way of our helping quickly. But there are many other things that we need to be doing better, getting rid of all of the barriers that have been put in place by bureaucracy. It was interesting. We had Elon Musk in front of us the other day, along with Ramaswamy, Vivek Ramaswamy, and they were talking about their definition of, we don't have a democracy anymore, we live in a bureaucracy. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Now, when you talk about spending priorities as we are going into the end of this year, do you see in the remaining actions that are ahead, what about the Oregon Veterans Home being cited for the Roseburg VA? That funding piece, it sounds like there's been a big push to get that done by the end of the year. Is that going to happen?
Well, no more tomorrow. I just met with my team an hour ago, and we were going over exactly that issue. They have a meeting with the staff of the Veterans Committee here in Congress tomorrow, and also they're setting up a meeting with the Department of Veteran Affairs itself to go through their November 19th letter, where they gave us good news and said that we were in priority group one, but then they said we had a priority weight ranking of 1.7, which suggests we're not right at the top of the heap when it comes to getting the money for that facility. And so this letter was written in response to my inquiries and asking for the Department of Veterans Affairs to move forward on that project and the 154-bed State Veterans Home in Roseburg. And so I'm happy that the Department of Veterans Affairs is responding to us and giving us some positive feedback, but we need far more detail. And when we get that, we'll be happy to be back on the show and explain it. But those meetings aren't until tomorrow.
And, of course, the potential with all the shifting that may happen with the new administration, it would seem like it would be very wise if this is going to be take place to get it done before the end of the year.
Right. Well, the question is, what do they mean when they say that? I'm looking right at the letter. It says, as a result, this grant application is eligible for inclusion on the fiscal year 2025 priority list with a priority ranking of 1.7 in priority group one. Well, okay, what does that mean? We're going to try to find that out tomorrow.
All right. We'll continue to follow up on that. What about, we've got about a minute and a half left, some of your priorities for things in the coming year, especially as they impact this district and especially Douglas County?
Yeah, so we absolutely have to address these Trump tax cuts, because people that were put in place during his first administration 7-8 years ago, And these expire at the end of next year. And that would have, if we don't do something about that, that would have a dramatic impact in increasing people's taxes. And we need to address that issue soon, like early next year. And we will be doing that. We also need to make sure we keep our government open. And I don't know if we've talked about this in the past, but when you shut down the government, we don't want to shut down the government. You end up not paying your federal military when that happens, and you can't let the military not get paid. I mean, and there's many other things that don't happen when you shut down the government. So I don't think we need to shut it down now that we control all three branches of government. We should be doing our best to figure out how to keep the government open and trying to make it work better. So I'll be working on exactly that, whether it's trying to keep our infrastructure in place on the Snake River or whether it's trying to unwind some of the bureaucracy we're running into that's delaying our economy and burdening it unduly. So that's what I'm going to be working on.
All right. We'll hopefully talk again soon. Keep us updated. Congressman Cliff Bence, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.